This is ExpertHR.com, your go-to HR compliance resource for federal, state, and municipal law. I'm David Weisenfeld for ExpertHR.com, published by Reed Business Information and proudly partnered with LexisNexis. On this podcast, can employees trust human resources? We try to keep it real on our programs, and it doesn't get much more real than this. The truth is, many employees distrust management, and that often includes HR. And recent events in the news illustrate this more than ever. We'll examine whether that's a fair perception and also what you can do to help change the reality. Fortunately, we have a leading employment law attorney and blogger with us to discuss this problem and possible solutions. Robin Shea practices with Constangi Brooks, Smith, and Proffitt in the firm's Winston-Salem, North Carolina office, where she represents employers. She also authors Constangi's Employment and Labor Insider blog and joins us now to discuss the state of HR. Robin, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you, David.
Now, Robin, you wrote an eloquent piece recently about how Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos got more than he bargained for when, following a controversy about his company's culture, he invited employees to come forward to human resources. Tell us what happened.
Well, I'm not sure what actually happened at Amazon, but of course it was in response to an article in the New York Times about the grueling atmosphere at Amazon and all the backbiting and, according to the Times article, just a horrible environment there. And they requested that people send in any complaints or issues they had to human resources. And the reaction on the internet was quite interesting. There was just a flood of comments about how human resources is in the tank for employers and human resources isn't even human. And there was even one comment from a human resources rep who claimed to hate HR. So it was pretty interesting, and these comments were getting a lot of likes or upvotes.
And some of those comments that you mentioned were notable for the fact that 35 to 40 people liked them and nobody disagreed. So why do so many people feel HR is in the bag for management and not really there to help employees?
I think the problem is HR does play a little bit of a dual role, and it might appear to be a conflict of interest to employees. A lot of employees feel as if HR should be on their side, but of course the HR representative actually works for the company and not for the employee, and that means that an HR person is going to have to make some decisions and do some things that may not be what the employee wants. And I think because they're sort of in that never-never land between being on the employee's side and being on the company's side, there may be more of a perception that they're traitors or turncoats when they do something in support of the company as opposed to in support of the employee. I don't think it's as bad as it sounds like it could be where the HR person actually represents the company and not the employee, because a lot of times the best decision for the company is also going to be the best decision for the employee.
Now, moving away from the Amazon story, Robin, many people with kids have either experienced firsthand or heard stories from friends about leave benefits being fouled up, and an HR rep is often the person they are dealing with, fairly or unfairly. So do you think that contributes to the negative perception?
I'm sure it does, where those benefits issues aren't handled properly. That can be extremely frustrating. And for an employee who doesn't have any disciplinary history, that may be their main contact with HR when they have a benefits issue. I recently had one myself at my law firm, and my HR person was fantastic and referred me to a third-party administrator representative who was also fantastic, and it made a wonderful impression on me. So if they're handled well, I think it's great for employee relations, but if they're handled badly, I'm sure it creates a perception that the company doesn't care about me, they don't think I'm important, and they don't think my needs are important.
And sometimes the HR person's hands can be tied a little bit. Is the problem that management at some companies simply doesn't give HR reps enough authority in these situations?
I have seen that in some cases, and especially with small companies. And I think with some startups that may not have gotten mature enough to realize how important it is to have a good HR person, they won't give the HR person enough authority, and if the HR person makes a recommendation, they won't listen to it, and they'll be very focused on the bottom line and nothing else. That can definitely be a problem, and you may have a weak HR person, but it's only because they're not getting the support they need from upper management.
Now, Robin, is there a misunderstanding among employees about what HR folks can actually do from what you've seen?
I think the big misunderstanding with employees is whose side are they on? You know, are they on my side as an employee, or are they on the company's side? And again, there's that sense of betrayal if an HR person does something in the interest of the company that might not be consistent with what the employee wants.
Again, we're speaking with Robin Shea, who practices with Constanji, Brooks, Smith & Proffitt in North Carolina, and is also the author of the very popular Employment and Labor Insider blog. Robin, what do you think, with all we've been discussing, can be done to change this negative view of the HR field?
That's a great question, and I'm not sure there's a whole lot that can be done about it, because the HR representative is always going to be in that gray area, being perceived by employees as somebody who ought to be on their side, but really having to represent the company and do what's best for the company. So I'm not sure there's a whole lot that can be done about that. The good news is I would be skeptical of putting too much weight on comments on internet websites and internet news articles, because I think some of those commenters are not representative of the general public. They're often very, very hostile and very confrontational and adversarial, and they're probably pussycats if you meet them in person. You know, I would take internet comments with a grain of salt, for sure, even though they're entertaining to read.
In a way, I guess it can be like TripAdvisor, where the people who are happy don't say anything, and then you just kind of see the negative remarks online.
I am sure that's true. And of course, you never know how many of those people got fired. Maybe they deserved it. You know, you just don't know.
Well, from your many years in practice, what are some positive stories that you've seen involving HR? You mentioned earlier your experiences were a plus, but there were some other stories as well that you wanted to share.
Yeah, these are some true examples of times when I really felt like HR saved an employee. One that happened many years ago, an African-American manager got a final warning from his supervisor, who was a white female, and it was scathing about his poor performance, and everybody assumed it was true. He went to HR and complained about it, and you know, everybody's initial reaction was, well, sure, you know, of course he's going to say that his boss was an ogre and horrible to deal with. But then the HR department investigated his allegations, and when they investigated, it turned out that it was true, and the manager really was an ogre. And so as a result of that complaint and as a result of HR's role in investigating the allegation, the manager was required to go through leadership training to acquire better skills in dealing with employees. And the employee who complained, his final warning was rescinded. So I thought that was a great HR success story. And it was the kind of thing, if you'd gone to anybody but HR, probably no one would have ever looked into it. They would have said, yeah, of course you're going to say that your boss is a jerk now that she's just given you a final warning. And so one thing that I, as a lawyer, really appreciate about HR is that HR is going to actually look into it. They're not going to just go with their gut instinct about whether an employee is right or wrong. Another one we had, and this is, again, is a fairly old case, but we had a client who had a young, very attractive female temporary employee, and she was being sexually harassed by a regular employee. And she was afraid to say anything about it because she was afraid they would just release her from her assignment and send her off. Someone else witnessed the harassment going on, and they went to Human Resources about it. And the Human Resources manager investigated, found she was indeed being sexually harassed, and they ended up terminating the harasser. And the female temp ended up staying and ended up getting a regular job with the company.
Now, Robin, you ended your blog by saying, disgruntled employees, HR is on your side more than you think. It sounds like some of these recent stories are examples of that.
I think so. And, you know, again, I think the big point is, even though HR represents the company, there are a lot of reasons why it's in the company's best interest to do right by their employees. A company that treats its employees well is going to have good morale. It's going to be easier for them to recruit and retain good employees. It's going to keep their litigation down and their EEOC charges. So there are lots of bottom line reasons why a company ought to want a good, active, well-supported HR department. And that means they are going to be looking out for the employees and trying to encourage the company to do the right thing.
Well, in our final few minutes, I'll shift to another story in the news in which HR came up that really hit home. And that was the late August shootings in Central Virginia that left a young TV reporter and cameraman dead at the hands of a former coworker. One victim had allegedly gone to human resources to complain about the coworker, and eventually he was dismissed. It's a tough question to ask, but could HR have done anything differently here to prevent this tragedy?
Well, it's really a shame, but I think in this particular case, there probably was nothing HR could have done. The shooter did not go back and actually carry out the shootings until he'd been gone for 2.5 years from the station. There was really nothing in his past that I think would have come out as a big red flag to the station if it had, you know, I'm assuming they did do a criminal background check on him and checked his employment references. And he had one discrimination suit more than 10 years old against another employer, but maybe he was right. And that was the only litigation he had in his history, I think. It was just an EEOC charge followed by a lawsuit against the same employer. No indication that he had any kind of criminal history. So there was nothing, I think, that would have tipped the station off to the fact that this shooter was a dangerous person. So it's horrible because you want to be able to say, oh, yeah, if they'd only done this one thing, you know, maybe it wouldn't have happened. But in this case, I really felt like the station in Virginia handled everything very well.
Now, there were reports that the coworkers were scared of him, and he was extremely difficult to deal with. But like you said, without more, it's just a hard thing to predict.
Yeah, and I didn't hear that he made any threats, communicated threats to people. And a lot of coworkers are difficult to get along with. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to kill you. And it did appear to me, looking at his personnel documentation, which was posted on one website, that the station was trying to address it with him, and they were trying to give him constructive feedback, and they offered him employee assistance and counseling to work on his interpersonal problems. So I think they really tried to handle it in a good way and in a constructive manner.
And just speaking generally, how much can an employer do to make sure that today's troubled employee doesn't become tomorrow's workplace violence story on the evening news?
Well, that's a good question. You know, one thing I would say, we have a lot of legal restrictions on the information that employers are allowed to get when they're making hiring decisions. But certainly to the extent that the law allows you to do it, do background checks, criminal and maybe even civil. I think in the financial industry, they have to do civil background checks to look for bankruptcies and things like that. But employers in other areas usually don't do civil background checks. I don't know if that would have made any difference in this particular case in Virginia if they had done that. I doubt it. I doubt that it would have made a difference. But I would certainly be as aggressive as I could in doing background checks, checking references, even though a lot of times the person you contact is just going to give you the dates of employment and positions held and nothing else. And then once they get to work, if there are interpersonal problems, by all means, address those right away and offer whatever resources you may have, including employee assistance programs or counseling to help them learn to behave more appropriately. And then the last thing, and I said this on my blog, is just pay attention to your own gut. Legally, you probably can't act on your gut, but your gut might help you pay attention to some things that are objective that you can act on. So if an employee gives you a bad feeling, be aware of that and pay attention to what is giving you that feeling, because there may be something actually behind it.
You mentioned references, but it's so difficult because, as you note, so often these days, employers pretty much just give name, rank, and serial number, and that's about it. Well, Robin, do you have any final thoughts on the HR role overall before we let you go?
Well, I would just like to say that as an employment lawyer, I am very grateful for HR, and when we have employment litigation, I always view them as a very valued partner in defending the company. And as an outside lawyer, I have no clue as to how many issues get resolved that I never even see, thanks to the HR representatives.
Well, we'll let that be the last word. Robin Shea practices with Constangi Brooks Smith & Proffitt in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, where she represents employers. She also authors Constangi's Employment and Labor Insider blog, and she's been a frequent guest of ours on Expert HR's podcasts and webinars. Robin, it's always good to have you on.
Thank you very much, David.
I'm David Weisenfeld. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Continue checking our website regularly for more podcasts on key employment topics affecting HR, including what multinational employers need to know about global background checks. The opinions expressed in this program do not represent legal advice, nor should they necessarily be taken as the views of Expert HR or its employees. ExpertHR.com is published by Reed Business Information and is proudly partnered with LexisNexis. For more information about Expert HR, our subscription offering, or our new 50-state employee handbook resource, call us toll-free at 1-855-973-7847. Again, that's 1-855-973-7847. Copyright 2015, all rights reserved.